I invite you to open your Bibles, please, to the Pentecostal book. To the truly Pentecostal book. And which one would that be? The book of Acts. The book of Acts. And we're going to read some verses in chapter 7 about Stephen, who had been a deacon but now has become a preacher. Stephen, the ex-deacon, who is now a preacher. Acts chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading in verse 54. But let me just give a little bit of a summary of what has been happening before we begin reading. Stephen has been preaching about Jesus Christ, and the church is under persecution. The new church is under persecution because Judaism was not willing to accept Jesus as the Messiah. And they were angry because they thought that Stephen and other gospel preachers were trying to do away with the Mosaic law and the system of worship that they had. And so the elders of the city of Jerusalem, their Sanhedrin, or their Supreme Court, their highest court of the land, is in the process of dragging Stephen out of the city, and they're going to stone him with stones. They're very angry at him, as you'll see in our reading. And so we start reading now in Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things that Stephen had been saying, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Can you imagine the highest leaders in the city of Jerusalem, the country's leaders, doing that? They gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with loud voice and stopped their ears, put their fingers in their ears or their hands over their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. This was Saul who became Paul the preacher. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I really am impressed by what Stephen was able to do in verse 59 and 60. It was not natural for him to be able to do what he did under those circumstances. It was supernatural. It was not normal for him to be able to do what he did. It was abnormal. How was Stephen able to do what he did in verse 59 and 60? The answer lies in verse 55, where it says, But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, being full of the Holy Ghost, and that's what I wish to speak about tonight, being full of the Holy Spirit. The word being is very important in our text tonight. It speaks of continuous action. I don't know how your language, your Tagalog language is as far as the verb tenses are concerned, But I do know, having studied Greek, that the Greek language is far more expressive at that point than is our English language, my English language. The Greek language has a verb tense which means present tense, but ongoing. For us to be able to say something like that in English, we have to put two verbs together, but not in the Greek. And so what we have here behind the word being is a word which means that Stephen was presently filled with the Holy Spirit, all the way full of the Holy Spirit's presence in, but he was continuing to be filled, if you can imagine that kind of an idea. And this is what we're to experience ourselves with respect to the Holy Spirit. We are to be baptized in the Spirit initially, and we are to be currently filled with the Holy Spirit, but we are to be so constantly in contact with the source of supply, the Holy Spirit himself, that we are in an ongoing way being filled with the Spirit. The same verb tense is used over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, where it says in the English, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." In the Greek language, it says, "Be ye being filled." Be presently full, but go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we have that kind of continuous experience in God, it makes us, like it says, Stephen, equal to any occasion that may come our way, because we are constantly in contact with the source of supply. There are some very wonderful, beautiful benefits that proceed from being full of the Holy Spirit. We can notice these in the life of Stephen, and we can pray that they be ours also. First of all, the first great benefit that was Stephen's by virtue of being full of the Holy Spirit is that it kept Christ in Stephen's vision. It kept Jesus ever before him in his vision. Keep your Bible open there and notice now again verse 55. It says, "He looked up steadfastly into heaven." Being full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God the Father. Now please notice with me that Stephen was not in a wonderful Sunday evening Holy Spirit rally. He was not in a beautiful, electrifying Sunday morning evangelistic service. He was in the midst of the devil's crowd. He was surrounded by the devil's mob. He was in the midst of persecution. They were yanking upon him and yelling and spitting at him and lying about him and throwing stones at him. They had their ears stopped, and he was under circumstances like that, that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and was still able to lift up his eyes into heaven and see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. I don't know about you, but I want that kind of an experience, don't you? What does it mean when it says he saw the glory of God? This is spoken out so much in the scriptures, and we sing about it in our psalms. Well, it was the light in the tabernacle that represented the visible presence of God in the tabernacle of Israel's wandering. It was manifest on Mount Sinai, the mountain where Moses got the Ten Commandments and other parts of the law that he gave to Israel, instructions from God. It became so manifest in Solomon's temple at the dedication that the priest could not minister because of the heaviness, the awareness of God's presence in what was known as the glory or the Shekinah, which was a visible manifestation of God. We even in our English language refer to heaven as glory. We ask about some dear child of God who has passed away to be with the Lord, and we say they have gone on to glory. We mean that they've gone to their eternal reward. And so what this glory really becomes for us is just a little incentive or preview of heaven. I think for Stephen, God just pulled the curtains of heaven back for a moment and let him peek through and get a little glimpse of all the benefits that awaited him. And that in itself was incentive enough to help Stephen do what he did. He was full of the Holy Ghost. It kept the glory of God and Jesus Christ in Stephen's vision. How did he see Jesus? He saw him standing. And that is indicative of the fact that he was in concern. He was looking over the edge of heaven itself, seeing what was happening with Stephen, his son, on earth. When it says he saw Jesus, he did not see the ghost of Jesus. He did not see a likeness or an image of Jesus that some man had prefabricated, but it says he saw Jesus living, resurrected, and standing at the right hand of God the Father. The right hand is indicative of power and of authority. The king's right hand man was the person who was next to the king in power, and when Jesus was seen standing at the right hand of God the Father, it was an indication that all power is given unto him, both in heaven and earth. And when Stephen saw that, I think he understood that Jesus also gives to us power and of authority when we too, like Stephen, are filled with the Holy Ghost. But if we, like Stephen, do not keep our hearts filled with God's Spirit, we'll get our eyes upon the harsh words and the ugly attitudes and at the throwing of the stones, at the persecution, and we may go down and fail the Lord. But if we will stay filled with God's Holy Spirit, no matter how severe the persecution may become, we can stand fast because the Spirit himself will keep us with a vision of Jesus Christ and the glory of God. So this is the first great benefit of being full of the Holy Ghost for Stephen, and for us, it keeps Christ in our vision. The second benefit is that it kept Christ in Stephen's word. This I know from looking at verse 52. We didn't read that verse earlier, so maybe we ought to read it now. Stephen said, "The just one of whom you have now been the betrayers and the murderers." By the just one, he was referring to Jesus Christ, the Lord. And Stephen's whole message was about Jesus. You read this 7th chapter of the book of Acts, it's a long, long chapter. And you'll find that Stephen is showing the people how that they had rejected the plan of God for their salvation. And they had crucified, had killed the prophets that God had sent unto them, the messengers one by one. And they finally had done the worst deed of all, in that they had crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom Stephen called the Just One. The whole message of Stephen was intended to show his people, his countrymen, the Jews, that Jesus Christ was God's only hope for them, that he was God's saving plan for them, and that they must accept Jesus Christ. He wanted them to understand that there was no salvation in their customs and in their traditions and in their temples and in their rituals. And they got angry about this, and in chapter 6 and verse 14, they said, "He has come to change the custom which Moses has delivered unto us." And so they rejected Stephen and they rejected his message about Jesus Christ. In fact, not only was Stephen's message about Jesus, but the whole group of messages that we find in the book of Acts that were preached by the apostles, Stephen, Peter, Paul, all of them had to do with Jesus Christ. He was the only one that they preached about. Everything they had to say was about Jesus, 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 Jesus. Not only was he in their preaching, but he was in their day-by-day conversation. They went from house to house, breaking bread and witnessing about Jesus Christ the Savior. And I believe when we are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus will be the primary topic about whom we will speak and about whom we will preach as well. Can you say amen? There are a lot of people these days who claim to be Christians and even spiritual Christians who have a lot of specialties they like to talk about. They like to crusade about. A lot of hobby horses they like to ride. But I believe when we're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll talk about Jesus morning, noon, and night. If you agree with me, will you say amen? This is what we're taught in John chapter 16 and verse 13 and 14. John 16, 13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And it goes on to say, he will not speak of himself. We'll not even talk about the Holy Ghost as much as we talk about Jesus when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said he will not speak of himself, but he will speak about me, and he will teach you things to come. And so being filled with the Holy Ghost kept Jesus Christ in Stephen's word. Jesus is what that crowd needed on that occasion, and Jesus is what our crowd needs tonight. Our world also, your world here in the Philippines, is filled with customs and with traditions of the church, and with temples and with rituals that will not save a man's soul. You know that well from having come out of that into evangelical Christianity. And now you need to turn around and go back to your friends and your neighbors and your relatives and talk to them about the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled in order that it may keep Jesus Christ in our word. The third benefit of being filled with the Holy Spirit we see in verse 59, and that is it kept Christ in Stephen's prayers. Kept Christ in Stephen's prayers. Look at verse 59 and read it again. It says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. In saying Lord Jesus, Stephen admitted the divinity of Jesus Christ. This is Acts chapter 7, verse 59. We're just staying right there tonight for the whole of the preaching. Saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Do you see those words? And in saying those words in his prayer, Stephen admitted the divinity of Jesus Christ. And also he demonstrates for us that we ought to pray directly to Jesus Christ. He did not address his prayers to Muhammad. He did not address his prayers to Mary, nor to any one of the saints. He did not address his prayers to the Pope. He did not address his prayers to some great spiritual source or force in the universe. He addressed his prayers to Jesus, recognizing that there's one mediator between God and man, even Jesus Christ the righteous, and that we don't have to have someone stand between us and God. He just prayed directly to God the Son, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And you know, I really believe that the Holy Spirit himself will assist in teaching our Roman Catholic friends as they begin to get interested in the true Word of God, will assist in teaching them to give up their worship of Mary and of the saints and help them to pray directly to Jesus Christ the Lord. If you believe that, will you say amen? Well, you were kind of quiet on that. I don't understand. Maybe you're not understanding what I'm saying. Not only did he pray directly to Jesus as a one to whom he addressed his prayers, but he prayed to Jesus for others. You notice in that same verse, no, it's in the next verse, in verse 60, Stephen said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." You know, that must have been difficult for Stephen to do on that occasion, to pray for those that were throwing the stones at him, crushing his head, making the blood flow from his head and from his mouth, knocking out his eyes, breaking the bones of his body, knocking the breath from his lungs, and yet he prayed for those who were doing that injustice to him. He was only fulfilling the command of Jesus himself. Like Christ, his last thoughts and prayers were for others. And he fulfilled the seemingly impossible command of Jesus when Jesus said, "Love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." And so Stephen was able to keep others in his prayers by virtue of being filled with the Holy Ghost. I want that kind of power with God. I want to be a recipient of that much of God's grace, so that if I should find myself being stoned to death, or my head being cut off by a sharp knife or sword, or if I should find myself being burned in the fire, as Christians have in many centuries, in many places, I would be able to pray and have a kind spirit toward those that did me the wrong. But you know what I've discovered? I cannot hope to have that kind of an ability until I first am so sanctified by the grace of God and so filled with the Spirit of God that I can have a good and a kind attitude against those who speak some evil word against me. Huh? Or who mistreat me, or may cheat me in business dealing, or may crowd me out of a parking space on the streets of Manila, or may nearly run me over by a jeepney. Instead of raising my fist and having an angry word, at that time I should be able to smile and say, "God bless you, because the grace of God is in my heart." And we can do that. We can pray for others that despitefully use us when we are filled constantly, every day, with the Holy Spirit of God. But then there's a fourth benefit that I want you to notice with me that derives from being filled with the Spirit in a constant way. And this is given us in verse 60 as well, where it says, "And he fell asleep." He fell asleep. On the basis of that line, we suggest that being full of the Holy Spirit kept Christ in Stephen's future. It was a beautiful homegoing, wasn't it? Can you imagine that occasion? All those angry men throwing stones, and the angels of heaven, I believe, came down and shielded Stephen for the moment from the stones and picked up his broken body and transported him very gently into the presence of Jesus Christ. The scripture only tells us that he lay over and went to sleep in the midst of that time of horrible hurt and persecution that was being thrust upon him. But his future was safeguarded by Jesus Christ by virtue of the fact that he was, up until the very moment of his death, or the moment of his going to sleep, the scripture says he was, in that last moment, full of the Holy Ghost. Now, you and I don't know what our future holds. We don't know whether we'll go out to meet Christ as did Stephen in a time of great persecution. And my heart reaches out to you, dear friends, here in the Philippines, because things are very volatile in this part of the world. And we don't know when you may come under most severe persecution for your faith. It's happening in some places in your island, And it's happening in other places in this part of the world in a very severe way. And so you, in a very, very urgent way, need to heed the message that I share with you from God's Word tonight. You need the Holy Spirit of God in order to keep you in the future. Whether that future is a good future or whether it's a difficult future, you cannot discount the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You do not know whether you'll die as a consequence of persecution or whether you'll die a normal death having lived your 70 years, or whether you'll go out to meet God in an accident, or whether you'll live until the glorious rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. But in any case, the very best guarantee that you can have that Jesus Christ will be a part of your future is to have Him in fullness in your heart when you move into that future. Do you see what I'm saying? And so being filled with the Holy Ghost kept Jesus Christ in Stephen's future. I want that kind of future, don't you? That can be guaranteed. So that we could then sing, I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. It's a secret known only to Him. Could we bow our hearts, please, in prayer? Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the privilege of looking into this Pentecostal book tonight and preaching about Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Thank you, Lord, for the example that he has set before us and for these beautiful benefits that we can share with him if we too are filled with the Spirit of God. Being so filled will keep Jesus in our vision. Being so filled will keep Jesus in our words. Being so filled will keep Jesus and others in our prayers, and being so filled will keep Jesus in our future. I pray, dear Lord, for every one of us tonight who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit in an earlier day, that we may be refilled, overflowing tonight, that we may have the fullness of your Spirit. And I pray, dear Lord, for those who are saved, who know Jesus Christ, but who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, with the initial physical evidence of speaking other tongues, I pray that they may come to receive that experience tonight by faith and in worship to Christ. Thank you for doing these things for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Will you stand with me, please? And I'm going to invite every one of you who would like to have more of the power of God, like to have the Spirit overflow your life in fullness anew. I'm going to invite you to step out from where you are and make your way here, please, and join me here. And we're going to pray together and pray for each other. Will you come, just everybody who would like to have a new touch of God's Spirit upon you, come and stand here, please. And the pastor and I are going to pray with you tonight that God will fill us all anew to overflowing with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Come right on. That's right. Come in very closely here tonight. And let's be close together as the family of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that you've arrived here, let me inquire of you. How many of you know without a doubt that you're saved? You've repented of your sins and you're born again. You're a Christian. Let me see your hand. You know that you're a Christian. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may put your hands down. I believe that's everybody tonight. Then let me ask another question. How many of you at some time in the past have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? You know that you have been because you spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance to you. Let's see your hand. How many can raise your hand at that invitation? Please don't raise your hand unless it's actually the case for you. Amen. About half of us can raise our hand at that invitation. Then a number of you who say that you're saved should be wanting to be baptized initially with the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful thing, and I'm glad that you feel that way. I'm going to ask these who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit already to seek you out and become prayer partners with you tonight. Those of you who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit Hold up your hand for a moment and let us see you. Hold it up. Now, those of you who have this, come over here and find one of these, please. Everybody, find you someone with whom you can pray. Keep your hand held up there. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, hold it up for just a moment now. Come on in, friends, and find somebody. Let's have one or two with every one of these. Come on over, some of you. There are two or three over here who do not have anybody to pray with them. Right up here in the front are some ladies that do not have anybody to pray with them. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to ask the pastor to come and lead us in prayer. And those of you who have been received, who have received the Holy Spirit, you pray with these people. And those of you who are going to receive the Holy Spirit, you begin to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with every word that you can think of to praise Him tonight. Just love Him. Let your heart flow out to Him tonight. Reach out to Him hungrily, and He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost.